The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter Number 2, Text Number 26, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on April 27th, 2011, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, a Jamya delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, Text 26. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Aho me paramam kashtam abhut avijita atmana yena Viplavitam Brahma Vishalyam Jayata Atmana Aho me paramam kashtam Abhuta vichatmanah Yena viplavitam Brahma Vishayam jayatatmana Oho me paramam kashtam Abhuta vichatmana Yena viplavitam Brahma Vishayam jayatatmana Aho, alas, may, my, paramam,
extreme,
kashtam, miserable condition,
людна падетис,
abhut, became,
tapu.
Avijita Atmana. Because my senses were uncontrolled.
Because my senses were uncontrolled.
Nes mano juslės buvo
nesukontroliuotos. Yena.
By which.
Kurio.
Viplavitam. Destroyed.
Sunaikinta.
Brahma. All my brahminical qualifications.
All my brahminical qualifications.
Visos mano brahmaniškos savybės.
Vrishayam.
Through a shudrani.
A maidservant.
Per shudrani tarnaitė.
Per shudrani
tarnaitė. Jayata. Being born.
Atmana.
By me.
Manu dika.
Translation in prayer board by Srila Prabhupada. Ajamil said, alas, being a servant of my senses, how degraded I became. I fell down from my position as a duly qualified Brahmin and begot children in the womb of a prostitute. Prayer board. The men of the higher classes, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, do not beget children in the wombs of lower class women. Therefore, the custom in Vedic society is to examine the horoscopes of a boy and girl before considering for marriage, being considered for marriage to see whether their combination is suitable. Vedic astrology reveals whether one has to be born in the has been born in the Vipravarna, Kshatriyavarna, Vaishyavarna, or Shudravarna, according to the three qualities of material nature. This must be examined because a marriage between a boy of the Vipravarna and a girl of the Shudravarna is incompatible. Married life would be miserable for both the husband and the wife. Consequently, a boy should marry a girl of the same category. Of course, this is Trigunya, a material calculation according to the Vedas. But if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. A devotee is transcendental, and therefore in a marriage between devotees, the boy and girl form a very happy combination.
Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Panakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sha.
So Prabhupada is talking in his purport about compatible marriages. Why would a sannyasi be talking about marriage compatibility? Because Prabhupada is trying to establish Vedic culture. Vedic culture not only consists of brahmacharis and sannyasis. It also consists of grihastas. So some interesting points are here in Prabhupada's purport. Some interesting points are in this purport. Who Vedic astrology is for? Is Prabhupada saying that Vedic astrology is for us? No. He's saying Vedic astrology is for non-devotees. I see now at ISKCON, Vedic astrology is very popular. But that Prabhupada, in one letter, reconfirmed, he said, this is for karmis. And one devotee argued to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati was into astrology. Prabhupada said only for a short while, and then he gave it up. So I see many devotees, they want to calculate according to Vedic astrology. And Prabhupada clearly states here, if the boy and girl are devotees, there need be no such considerations. So, what is then the basis of a happy Krishna conscious marriage? Prabhupada makes it very clear, if the boy is Krishna conscious and the girl is Krishna conscious, they form a very happy combination. Well, someone could argue, but there's so many divorces in ISKCON, how could this be true? Well, it is true. That's the first point. Any marriage which ends in divorce, it means the boy and girl are not Krishna conscious, that's all. Because any relationship where you make Krishna the center, that relationship is very strong. If that marriage breaks, it's not based on Krishna. based on sense gratification. What is the principle of sense gratification? I'll scratch your back and you scratch my back. And as soon as I'm not gratified by you anymore, as soon as you don't gratify my senses, get out. You see, this is the very reason people are so miserable in the modern day world. They're trying to be the center of enjoyment. Instead of trying to give pleasure to Krishna, they want to take the pleasure for themselves. So, one person just wrote me a letter just yesterday. He's saying that my love relationship with my fiancé is not doing well.
Fiancés?
It's the loving relationship is not going well with his fiancé. He's worried about it. So I told him, you just have to be in the mood of service, that's all. The married life means that the boy has to see that the girl's material and spiritual needs are all taken care of very nicely. That is married life. It's not what you can get out of the relationship, it's what you can give to the relationship. As long as we enter a relationship for what I can get out of it, you're going to be in problems. That relationship's going to be in problems. Every relationship. Guru disciple relationship. God-brother-God-brother relationship. For any relationship in Krishna consciousness to be strong, it must be based on giving service, not taking service. With our parents, with our children, between brothers and sisters. You see, actually, unless you have good relationships, you can't chant Hare Krishna properly. Because what is the first against what is the first nama parab? It's to have bad relationships, actually. If you're criticizing a devotee, that means you have a bad relationship with that devotee. So the first offense, another way of saying the first offense is you must have, to avoid the first offense, you must have good, loving relationships with the devotees. What is the proof? Again, I go back to that famous verse in the Adi Purana. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhaktas tate janaha, mad bhaktanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says to Arjuna, my dear son Aprita, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee.
Krishna says, pažinai, kad tas, kas yra mano bhaktas, tas nėra mano bhaktas.
But the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So, you may say, what does that have to do with the holy name? Do you think Krishna is not his holy name? Krishna is his holy name. So unless you are devoted to the devotees, you cannot get Namaruchi. That's a fact. Only to the extent that you have loving relationships with devotees, only to that extent can you actually get a taste for the name. So in this movement, we have a very good opportunity to develop relationships with devotees. Here we are, so many of us together here. And we're interacting in so many ways with each other. 24 hours a day, we're interacting in so many ways with each other. So what sort of interaction do you have with the devotees? Are you trying to use them for your own advantage? Are you trying to serve them? What is the mood of the gopis? What is the mood of Srimati Radharani? She has the proper mood. She has the best mood. Prabhupada described to Vat Radharani to us in London one time. Actually, this was on the holy day of Radhastami. He told us this about Mother Radharani. He said, if you will pray to Mother Radharani, my dear Mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. Then Radharani, she will recommend to Krishna, oh my dear Shyam, Smajir Shyam Sundar, here is this devotee, he is better devotee than me. So in this way Krishna will notice. Just see the mood of Radharani. He's trying to say, Krishna, I'm your best servant, no one can serve better than me. She doesn't say that. He says, Krishna, look, here is this devotee, he's better devotee than me. So what does Prabhu mean? It means better than me. We see the devotees, they are my Prabhus. The Matajis are also our Prabhus. It's the same thing. My mother is just always my mother and father, they are my Prabhus, my masters. My mother, whether I say Prabhu or Mataji, it is the same thing. This is higher than me. I'm subordinate to my Prabhu, I'm subordinate to my mother also, you see. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. The austerity of the body is to offer your respectful obeisances to your mother and father. So whether it's mother or father, it's the same principle. I am subordinate to them. So in this way, we have to appreciate these. They are higher than me. I am their servant. It's my duty to make them happy by my dealings with them. This is the basis of proper devotee relationships. So if we can practice this, what kind of atmosphere will it make in the temple? What kind of atmosphere will it make in the movement? ISKCON will be a Vaikuntha planet. Anybody who comes to one of our temples, they'll be amazed. I've never experienced such a loving atmosphere in my whole life. So we can simply follow these teachings of Srila Prabhupada very nicely. Then very quickly we can make the whole world Krishna conscious. That is the desire of the pure devotees. They want to see that everyone will become Krishna conscious. This is stated by Prahlad Maharaj. Svastiyastu vishvasha kala prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivang matodaya manascha badrang bhajatam madoksa jay aveshutam no matarapya haituki. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. May everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by engaging in Krishna's service, everyone will become free, everyone will think of each other's welfare.
užsimdami Krišnos sąmonę, kiekvienas jums galvoti apie kitų gerovę.
Therefore, let us always remain absorbed in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna. And always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So just see the mood of Bhakta Prahlad. He's not thinking of his own happiness only. His happiness is already there. His happiness is already there. He doesn't have to think about how to become happy. He's feeling unlimited happiness already within his heart. He has no problems. But he has one problem. And that is around him there's a whole world where people are suffering in material consciousness. So therefore he makes this most wonderful prayer, praying that everyone shall become Krishna conscious. So in this way the devotee, he has a perfect loving relationship with every living entity. To the devotees he gives loving service. And for the non-devotee, he's always thinking, how can I bring them to Krishna consciousness? So in this way, the Vaishnava, he is the well-wisher of all living entities. Just as Krishna is Sahridam Sarabhutanam, the best friend of all living beings, so the Vaishnava also, he is the best friend of all living beings. So if we find ourselves in a Kripana mentality, a selfish, greedy Kripana mentality, we have to beg Krishna, my dear Lord, please save me from this Kripana mentality. Please, my Lord, make me, please, my Lord, make me your pure devotee. In this mood, we can chant our japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
If I am not a pure devotee, so still I am not need these astrologers.
I'm not a pure devotee, then.
So if I'm not pure, so still I no need astrologers.
So, if I'm not a pure devotee, Papa doesn't say pure devotee. He says devotee. It's not that only the Paramahamsas don't require astrologers. Papa says a devotee. So are you a karmi? Are you a devotee?
Yes, I'm a devotee, but I have no Krishna consciousness.
That's your humility. Next question.
Что I want to clearly understand, what does it mean, Krishna consciousness?
Krishna consciousness means, it's described by Rupa Goswami. Krishna bhakti bhavita mati, to be always absorbed in the transcendental mellow of hearing, chanting, remembering, etc., the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Krishna samanė reiškia būti visą laiką pasinėrus į transcendentinės nuotaikas, klausimo, girdėjimo, pasakymo ir panašiai apie Krishna.
Krishna bhakti bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutol pilabhyate tattala yang muyamayam tattamu yang api muyamekalam janmakotir sakritare nalabhyate. This is described by Rupa Goswami. He says, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and millions of lives. It can be obtained only by paying one price. And that is the intense greed to obtain it. And then he further advises this. He says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Pure devotional service means that I have no desire except to please Krishna. My every thought is I discipline my thinking, so my every thought is pleasing to Krishna. I control my speech so that every word that which comes out of my mouth is pleasing to Krishna. I regulate my bodily activities so that everything I'm doing with my body is pleasing to Krishna. So Krishna consciousness means to have no desire except to please Krishna. It means you're totally, completely in love with Krishna. Everything is for Krishna. And you love Him like anything. You love His beauty. You love His sweetness. You love His strength. You love His wisdom. Everything about Him, you love it, you love it, you love it. That is Krishna consciousness. And next question. Hari Bolananda.
So I want that you tell more about why there is so many divorces in Krishna consciousness society.
Selfishness. Next question.
If man is serving so much for society, so he has no time to take care of wife, so what to do?
The wife is not part of the society?
But argi žmona taip pat nėra visuomenės dalis, bendruomenės?
If I say I'm serving society, the wife is not part of society?
Jeigu sakyčiau, tarnauju visuomenėje, tai argi žmona nėra visuomenės dalis?
I'm serving society. The wife is also part of society. How I can neglect the wife? She's part of society. Society means I'm serving all human beings. So my wife is not a human being? I'm saying I'm serving all human beings except my wife. I won't serve her because she's not a human being. What sort of nonsense is that? I'm serving all society, then my wife is part of the society, I have to serve her as well. Next question.
Tai jie nuojas taip išsigando, kad aš galvoju, aš nežinau, kad kažką tokio taip baisaus padariau, kad, nu, vienu žodžiu, va tokia patirtis yra.
I was trying to bow down to my parents.
To what with the parents?
Bow down.
Yeah.
And they become scared.
You can't bow down physically, at least in your attitude you should bow down to them. I know when my Vishnujana Swami told me that I should bow down to my parents. So they, when they first came, I bowed down to them and they liked it. They smiled. They liked it. Very nice. And Prabhupada had Gargamuni and Brahmananda bow down to their mother. They took that order very seriously. Sometimes they would go home for the weekend to visit their, you know, go home to visit their parents at the house. And the mother would, they would ring the doorbell, the mother would open the door, and they would bow down, you see. They were bowed down, and she would look to see that nobody's here. She opened the door, there's nobody here. And she looked down, oh, there, their sons were bowed down on the sidewalk. Actually, it's a very nice etiquette. My wife, Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, when she was a young girl, that was a custom in her home, that every day the children would physically bow down to the parents. That's Vedic culture. Every morning when the children get up, they come and bow down, offer obeisances to the parents. Just like my disciples, when they see me, they offer their obeisances. In Vedic culture, when the parents first see the children first see the parents every day, they offer their obeisances. And then in the family relationship becomes very nice. But at least you can, in your attitude, you can be bowing down to them. This is a way to influence people also. If you give respect to people, they're willing to hear what you have to say. Will we listen to somebody who is rude to us? No. But if somebody is very respectful, we're willing to hear what they have to say. So this is very good preaching strategy. You should be very, very respectful to one's parents. And then after you have satisfied them by giving them so much respect, then you can inform them. My dear mother and father, whatever you've learned throughout your entire life, it is simply nonsense. Now read this Bhagavad Gita and learn what is the truth. Any more questions?
Last week you said that more devotees advance, more hard service he is doing. So,
What's that?
More devotees advanced.
More devotees.
And more one devotee is advanced.
The more devotees advanced.
Yeah, so he took more hard service.
He takes more difficult service.
Yes. So, my question is, which service is difficult and which is easy?
One man's food is another man's poison. What may be easy for one devotee is difficult for another devotee. So, for some devotees, going out and selling books is a very easy thing. Some devotees is very difficult. Depends on your nature. For some people, making a nice flower arrangement on the altar is very easy. For some, it's practically impossible. So it's different for each devotee, according to one's nature. But one should learn how to do anything for do anything and everything for Krishna, no matter what your nature is. Next question.
Say that it's the service is not difficult, but it's our nature.
So the question is. So she's asking, the service is not difficult, it's just our nature that makes it seem difficult. That's fact, that's true. There's no such thing as difficult service, actually. We make it difficult by our attitude. For one who is completely Krishna conscious, there's no such thing as a difficult service. That we find difficulty, it is due to our lack of Krishna consciousness. So we can increase our Krishna consciousness more and more, there'll be no such thing as difficult service. Next question.
Jeigu vat tėvai yra karmėjai ir jie kategoriškai yra prieš Krišnos sąmonę ir jie draudžia vaikui žengti Krišnos sąmonę, jeigu nors jisai nori, ar tam vaikui reikėtų gerbti tėvus? Tokius.
If a child has parents who are karmi and they not allowed to practice Krishna consciousness, still this child should bow down and respect these parents?
That, in my case, for example, my parents didn't want me to practice Krishna consciousness. Especially my mother didn't like it. But still, I was very respectful to her. So being respectful to a non-devotee parent doesn't mean that when they tell you to not to chant Hare Krishna, that you obey them. It doesn't mean that. It means you respectfully disobey them. Next question.
Kad turi būti davimas ir ėmimas iš tikrųjų, neturi būti vien tik reiškias davimas. Bet dažniau nu, kažkaip praktikų būna, kad vien tik tai kažkas, jeigu duoda, tai kažkas vien tik ima. O man yra problema, kaip pasakyti, priimti. Iš tikrųjų, kaip pasakyti, duoti, kad tarsi norėtų, bet va, priimti kažkaip va, nesinori. Va, kažkaip, va, iš tikrųjų, nėra tai viskas paprasta, va, tas davimas ir ėmimas. Iš tikrųjų, va, kažkam gali būti problema va, priimti iš tikrųjų.
You said that relationship means to give and to take. I have a problem. For me, it's very hard to take.
I know.
No.
You have a hard time taking initiation, I know that. Spiritual master is giving all mercy, but you're not very good at taking it. I know you have this problem. I'm trying to figure out how to inspire you to be good at taking also. That is a dilemma. How to inspire this woman to be not an expert in taking. Actually, it is given by Rupa Goswami. There are six kinds of loving exchanges. You give and you receive. You see, receiving is also a loving exchange. You're honoring the love that that person is giving to you. You're honoring his love. You see, you can give your loving service, but if you don't want to receive it from them, that means you're proud. But I can serve you, but you can't serve me. That means pride. So, if one is actually humble, one will reciprocate that loving exchange by giving also. Giving and taking both. You'll give, and then when they give, you'll take from them. And this way it goes back and forth.
She says she does not like to take it. She has a problem of taking it.
Right.
But she is taking everything from Krishna, and what is she giving?
Yes, yeah, so give it in local language. I had to put it in the mic. Wait. So, Vishnupriya Mataji has pointed out that actually one may say that I'm not able, I can give but I can't take, but actually that means one doesn't have a very clear vision of what's actually happening, because actually you're taking all the time. I see that you're breathing right now. You're taking in air. You see, you're taking air, keep your body alive. You're taking prasadam. Do you have any difficulty taking prasadam? You're taking so many things. It's like you're taking knowledge from me. I'm giving you knowledge. You see? Actually, you are taking. Your real problem is you don't know how to give. That's the real problem. Your understanding is backwards. Actually, your real problem is you're not able to give. That's your real problem. So this is a very nice point that Vishnupriya Mataji has pointed out in this regard. We call it her Brahmastra weapon. Mataji's Brahmastra. She's blessed you with her Brahmastra.
So how we can get this desire to give? How I can change my consciousness?
This question you've asked is very nice. Thank you so much. How can I get desire to give? The good news is this. You already have the nature. It's within you. You already have that nature. This is confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jivara Sarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. Your constitutional position is you're a pure devotee of Krishna. So actually your pure nature is one of giving. Your true nature is one of giving pure love 24 hours a day. But it is simply covered by six enemies: lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. This is why one has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, because he empowers you to get to free your heart of these enemies. This is stated by Rupa Goswami. Adau Garashvayam. Your first business is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Because by his if you take shelter of a spiritual master, by his blessings, these enemies will be driven out of your heart. And then your natural pure bhakti tendency will become there. You have it right now, Mataji. But it's covered, that's all. It's like a dirty mirror. You already have the pure reflection of bhakti in your heart. But you require the shelter of a spiritual master to help you clean your heart of these dirty things. That's the fact.
As I understand, this shelter is more than initiation. As I understand, shelter is more than initiation because I see so many devotees who already has initiation, but has no any progress. So this is some deeper meaning.
So what's the question?
That only initiation is not enough. It should be something deeper to get...
Yeah. Prabhupada explains that initiation, if it is taken properly, gives you instant immortality. In other words, taking initiation is not just for 1 minute. Initiation is your whole life. I have taken initiation means I am making a vow to always remain in the shelter of this spiritual master. That's initiation. So that means to follow his instructions. So when you disobey, that means you're rejecting your initiation. But if you always worship and celebrate that initiation within your heart, which is the loving mercy of the spiritual master upon you, then you'll never go away. And you'll make steady progress to pure bhakti. Prema bhakti. Okay, someone else now.
So, what is the hope of for a fallen disciple if he falls?
What is the hope for a fallen disciple?
Hope.
To come back?
If he disobeys...
Disobeys the Guru's order? All he has to do is pick up where he left off. I vowed to my spiritual master I would chant 16 rounds and follow these four regular principles. So I fell down from that vow. There's no atonement you have to do. All you have to do is pick up where you left off. Pick up your bead bag and start chanting. Throw away the cigarettes. Throw away the alcohol. Don't visit the prostitutes. Don't buy lottery tickets. Just pick up where you left off. And you'll be able to revive that relationship with your spiritual master. He will welcome you back to his lotus shelter. Yes.
Mažėja tas kelias, ar tai, nu, tiesiog išbandymai, tai čia visada būna, ar paskui kažkokį momentą viskas baigėsi.
Šilo Prabhupada told that spiritual path is like thin like blazer, sharp.
Blazer's edge, yeah.
And more you go, it becomes more thin and more dangerous.
The what?
More you go, more further, so it becomes...
The further you go, the more dangerous it gets?
Yes. Sharp. More sharp. More problems.
No. It's just the opposite. It is a razor's edge. But the more you advance, the more you become expert at wielding the razor. If you give a straight edge razor to a little child, he'll cut himself easily. You see? But in the hands of an expert barber, there's no problem. I remember back in the old days in India, the barbers used to use the straight edge razors. It was amazing. I wanted to shave up. So one barber, he came to the temple to shave up the devotees. He was so expert at handling that razor. It was amazing. He sharpened it on his leg. He used his leg to sharpen the razor on his leg. And then he shaved my head with no shaving cream, no water, just a dry razor. It hurt. But there wasn't a single cut. It was perfect shave. You see? For him, there's no difficulty handling a razor. You see? He's expert barber. But for an incompetent person, if I tried to shave with a straight edge, I would have cut myself 20 or 30 times all over my face. So yes, it is razor's edge. For a neophyte, it's very dangerous. But as you advance, it becomes less and less dangerous. And pretty soon you get to the point where all the danger is gone. But actually the pure devotees, they show us by example. Even though they've passed far beyond all the danger. Once you get to the bhava stage, actually, even in the bhava stage, there is danger. We see great devotees who fell down from the bhava stage. Bilva Mangala Thakur, in a previous lifetime, he had attained the bhava stage. But once you get to prema, then there's no more danger. Prabhupada said he could go into a whole room full of naked women and not be agitated. But still, the pure devotees, even though they're beyond all danger, they teach us by their example. Srila Prabhupada told us in Boston, he said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down into Maya. So that's why Prabhupada will never fall down. Because he's constantly begging for protection. So if you will constantly beg for protection on this razor's edge path, you'll be completely free from all danger. Just like it's stated in the Bible, in the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David, the King David, he wrote this psalm. He was, even though I'm in a very dangerous place,
Karalius Deividas taip rašė, kad nedėk aš labai pavojingai padėti esu.
This material world where the shadow of death is hanging over everyone's head at every minute. Because I always keep you with me, my Lord, therefore I have no fear of any danger. Abhayt Charan. One who is fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So you will take total complete shelter of Guru and Krishna's lotus feet. And no danger can ever touch you. But don't artificially think you're on some liberated platform. Always beg for the mercy that you'll be protected. In this way you will pass through all dangers easily. So our time is up. We thank you all very much for your participation in this program today. We hope that you have learned some valuable lessons and that you will act accordingly to elevate yourself to the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Achyula bhai.